of the wonderful things about living in Alaska is, of course, having a beautiful flag, a beautiful song, and also a chance to go whale watching, especially here in Southeast Alaska. Gunashchish for being here with us today. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. You know, it is wonderful when we get these longer days because you can go out on the water. And I know I often see a lot of people out looking for spouts from whales, and it just kind of marks the transition to summer. And so that's why tonight's fireside presentation, fireside lecture, is especially timely at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. It starts tonight at 7 o'clock, and it features Sadie Wright, who is from the Alaska Large Whale Entanglement Program, which is run by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, also known as NOAA, and she is the coordinator for the Whale Rescue Program. Thank you so much, Sadie, for joining us. I'm excited to hear about your presentation tonight.
Hi, Rhonda. Thank you so much for having me, and I couldn't have said it better. You're right. It's a very timely presentation. As people are getting out on the water, we want to ask them to keep an eye out and let us know if they see entangled whales or other marine mammals in distress. So I appreciate you inviting me on.
Well, I know that you do have like a whale hotline. If you see something, how much do you rely on that to go out and rescue whales?
Oh, very much. Public reporting of entangled and distressed marine mammals is how we know how to respond to most of the marine mammals that we respond to annually. And is it okay if I plug that phone number now?
Go ahead. And when we post this interview on our website, ktoo.com, I will put that number up there as well for people if they
Great.
Don't have a pencil handy. Go ahead and
Great.
Give
it's
us
a,
the number.
It's toll-free number, 24/7. You can call this number with reports of entangled or other marine mammals in distress. 877-925-7773.
So we will give that number again, too, at the end of the program. So keep okay. it handy. And also, you can find it on our website as well. So I guess this is kind of a good entree into how serious the problem is. I mean, how many reports do you get a year of whales getting entangled, and what are they entangled in?
Yep, that's a great question. On average, we receive about 15 or 16 confirmed entanglement reports a year, and that varies pretty significantly between years. Last year, we had a few more reports than that. We had 18 confirmed entangled large whales and one unconfirmed. Mostly, we're seeing them entangled in fishing gear, but really, large whales will get entangled in any type of line or debris that's in the water. So anchor lines, moorings, marine debris, fishing gear seems to be primary, probably because there's a lot of overlap between whales and fishing gear.
So is there any reason to believe that this may be underreported? Because, I mean, we have a vast area that whales call home.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Those are definitely our minimum estimates. Those are the animals that we hear about, we're able to confirm with photos or expert reporting. And we receive a lot of reports from the public, the on-water community, the fishermen whose gear the whale has become entangled in. And we very much appreciate those reports, even when the whale isn't experiencing a life-threatening entanglement. Maybe it briefly interacts with a net or a mooring line and is able to self-release with no problems. We appreciate hearing about those reports because that helps us understand the magnitude of the situation and how frequently whales are able to self-release.
So do you have any other ways to gauge how often this happens to whales?
Yes. Researchers there's a growing body of literature on scar analysis. So often when whales encounter debris or become entangled, they might be wrapped up for some period of time, but they're able to free themselves. And in large part, whales are able to free themselves. It's only the really sticky situations where they can't move any longer or they're not able to free themselves that our team responds to disentangle. So the lines that the animals become entangled in result in scarring for some amount of time after the entanglement, after the animal's been able to free itself or we were able to disentangle it. They will carry the scars from that interaction. And there's a growing body of literature that they're photo documenting whales and assessing whether or not they carry these scars. And here in Southeast Alaska, especially Northern Southeast Alaska, researchers have seen that over half, up to 70% of humpback whales carry scars from previous entanglement encounters. And we know that we're not hearing about all of those when they happen. So the scar studies help us better understand.
My goodness, 50 to 70% of the whales have been entangled. So this is going to be interesting for people to hear about tonight at the Fireside Lecture. And I understand that it's an opportunity, too, for people to learn about your volunteer program, that you rely on volunteers not only to spot the entanglements, but also to help in the rescues. Do you have to have any special qualifications to become a volunteer?
Yes, very much so. I mean, we rely very much on the entire on-water community for reporting and assessing entangled whales from a safe distance. In addition, our advanced responders are not all government biologists. They're people that are familiar with operating around whales, researchers, conservation biologists, folks who already operate near whales, and they've taken it upon themselves to gain the expertise to work closely with our program, to gain the training and have the equipment on hand. And that's a big component of our program, is having specialized equipment that we use to disentangle whales. That equipment is designed to put distance between our responders and entangled whales, and also lessen the time that responders are spending close to whales. Because while we like to think that the whales know that we're there to help them, any animal that's in pain is going to behave unpredictably, and whales too, especially being close to a 40-ton animal that's thrashing around is not a good place to spend time. So we ask the public to reach out to us with reports so that our authorized trained responders can show up with the specialized equipment to disentangle the animal.
So how many people are involved as volunteers, specialized volunteers with the right training?
Oh, we've got just a tremendous network. If I was working on this presentation and trying to put an acknowledgement slide together, and it's too many to list or name or be able to fit on a slide, but lots of people, lots of organizations. But again, we're looking to the entire on-water community to help us with the reporting and letting us know if they've seen an interaction with a whale and entangling materials, or if they see an entangled whale. And we do ask that if you see an entangled whale to call our hotline. And if you're not able to get through on your cell phone, you can call the Coast Guard on Channel 16, VHF Channel 16, and they'll relay the message. They'll relay the report to us. And we do that just about every year, receive reports that way. And if you can stay with the whale until our team gets there, that helps a lot, because it's amazing how quickly a whale dragging an entanglement can disappear once you take your eyes off of it.
My goodness, you know, you never think of all of these things that are involved. How did you get involved in this line of work of rescuing whales, and how long have you been at it?
I started with NOAA Fisheries about 11 years ago and became involved in our Marine Mammal Health and Stranding Response Program, which is our program where we respond to all marine mammals under our agency's jurisdiction that are in distress. So dead, injured, sick, entangled, and more and more over the years became involved and gained experience with the large whale entanglement response part. You know, as you've said, it takes time to develop that expertise and that comfort and that knowledge of how to operate within the large whale entanglement response program. And so here a couple of years ago, I took on that lead role of being the Alaska coordinator for the national program.
Wow. So you must feel that this is a rewarding job, even though it sounds very difficult because it could be 24/7, right? When a whale is entangled, you're pulled out of bed at whenever that is, maybe.
It's very rewarding. I can give you an example of that. We had a whale here a couple of years ago that was entangled over in Tenneke, and the Tenneke response team did a fantastic job assessing and documenting the entanglement, prioritizing their effort and disentangling it. But the weather blew up. So at the end of the day, they had to stand down, which was the safe and the right decision to make. And so the whale was able to swim away, but it still had a little bit of gear on it. And so we thought that animal is going to shake the gear, but we just didn't know for sure. And then this last year, 2021, we received a report from researchers that had taken a picture of that same whale, you know, using the fluke ID, using the fluke to identify that it was the same whale that had been entangled the year before. They were able to confirm that it was no longer entangled. It had come back to Alaska to feed. And I got to relay that message to one of the responders who had led the response, and darned if tears didn't spring to his eyes. So that was rewarding for all of us.
Yeah, and to see these whales come back, to realize that did make a difference. So just in wrapping things up here, so tonight I imagine that we're going to hear some real cases that you've dealt with.
Yep. I'll give some examples, recent examples of successes, some examples of why this is a stressor that we're concerned about. So there are a couple of sad slides in there. And it's great that the Forest Service is making this presentation available online. So it's virtual. It'll be recorded if people want to listen to it later. But we did a run through yesterday up at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. And we put some of the underwater footage up on their big screen there. And wow, pretty impressive. It feels like you're sitting in the auditorium with a life-size whale up on their big screen there. So if you are able to come in person, it's pretty impressive big screen they've got up there at the Forest Service.
You know, it is so nice to be able to have these fireside lectures back at the Mendenhall Visitor Center, and also the option, if you can't make it, that you can find them, you can watch them online live on their Facebook page, on the Mendenhall Visitor Center Facebook page, or you can watch them later. So just very quickly, because I know you wanted to give out the number, because 'tis the season, we're gearing up. So if we see a whale in distress, what number do we call?
Please call 1-877-925-7773.
All right. So I want to thank you so much, Sadie Wright, for giving us a preview of your presentation tonight at the Mendenhall Glacier. And, you know, this is the first time I'm hearing some of the things that you said today, and it's just the tip of the iceberg of what there is to know. So thank you so much.
Excellent. Thanks for having me, Rhonda.